chapter 2. It's an important week for all of us. I don't care how old you are. It's an important week for all of us. Our children are going to be going to school. They're our children. They belong to us. They belong to God. And we're about to send them into one of the most dangerous places we can possibly send them. We're about to send them into the world. We're about to send them into the world. I'm thankful for good teachers. I'm thankful for godly teachers who are going to be in the classrooms with our children, and there are many. I'm thankful for that. But I remember when my oldest daughter went off to kindergarten. Put her on that bus, and she went off to kindergarten, and she, just a few days. She said to me, "Daddy, what does this word mean?" I said, "Where'd you hear that word?" "I heard it at school." I said, "You're never going to school again." I mean, we live rather sheltered lives. And I really thought that. She's never going to school again. If that's what she's going to learn, she's never going to school again. Then I slowed down and I thought about it a little bit more. "No, David, you're going to have to take your role in training her and making sure that she has the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ in this world, not only when she's in kindergarten, but when she's 37 years old. You're going to have to take your job a whole lot more seriously than maybe you've ever taken it before." We're about to send our children off to school. And the dangerous part is, what can happen to their souls? What can happen to their souls? With good intentions and all the other good, they're going into a dangerous place. And we've got to take our responsibilities and our roles as parents. We've got to take them much more seriously than maybe we've been taking them. We want to pray for our children. We want to pray for their teachers. We want to pray for the administrators. We want to pray this morning that they'll have a great school year, but that our Lord will be with them through all of it. Brother Rodney, come lead us in that prayer for us. We're thankful that we have Rodney as one of the administrators at the school in Valonia, and does a great job. Rodney, you'll lead us, I know.
Would you bow your head with me, please? Dear Heavenly Father, we just come to you, Lord, lifting up our school system and all of our students and teachers that will be starting school this next week. Lord, we know that the world tells us so many things that are against our principles as Christians, Lord. We know that there are things that the world tells us that we should just accept and to just take and not judge. And Lord, you tell us, Lord, to hate the sin and love the sinner. So Lord, we just pray that you'll be with our school system this year, and not just ours, but all of those around, Lord, and protect us from the evil that lurks in this world, Lord. And be with the administrators who have to make the rules and have to abide by the rules that are given us to the from the state, Lord. Lord, we just can't ask you enough to be with us every day, Lord, to protect us and guide us in the things that we do. Dear Lord, we ask for community support. We ask, Lord, for prayer to lift us up every day, Lord. These things we ask in your name. Amen.
This week I was with a parent, one of our parents, and their teenager. And the parent was telling me that they had been up someplace and they were visiting with this person, and this person was using all kinds of foul language, all kinds of foul language. And that after they got home, he's telling me, the reason I'm telling you this is because after I got home, that person called me and said, "Oh, I need to apologize. I didn't, it never occurred to me that your child was standing there and I was talking that way." And that teenager's standing right there. And I said, oh, yeah, you'd probably never heard those words before either. And he said, oh, yeah, I heard every one of them. Where'd you hear them? I go to school. They are going into the world, folks. They really are. They're going into the world. And we need to be aware of that. Parents, we need to be providing them with all the spiritual training that we possibly can. Don't absent yourself from an assembly of God's people. Don't absent yourself or your children from a Bible class that is available to you and to them. These things are so important to bringing our children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. So please put those things in your plans. I've been thinking about how to make the Lord's Day the best day. Have you ever thought about that? How to make the Lord's Day the best day? Let me remind you of something. This is not the weekend. Are you listening? Look right up here. This is not the weekend. This is the first day of a new week. Am I right or wrong? This is not the weekend. What are you going to do with your weekend? Well, I'm going to the lake. Go to the lake on the weekend. I don't care. But this is the first day of the week. Right? This is the first day of the week. And how do you make the first day the best day? I got three things. I'm just going to scan old dude. We're going to get to Ephesians 2. But you'll agree with me. Make it holy. Make it a holy day. It is the first day, but it's also referred to as the Lord's Day. I know what you're thinking. Well, every day is the Lord's Day. That's true. But this day is His day in a special way. What we're doing is the most important thing you can do in your life. I don't care what you're going to do the rest of the day. What you're doing right here is the most important thing you'll do today. Worshiping God is the most important thing you will ever do, bar none. I don't know what your plans are for Monday. I don't know what your plans are for Friday. I don't know what your plans are for next Saturday, but I can tell you this. This is the most important thing. Make it a holy day. Make it a healthy day. Rest. 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 The old men used to say, when you're cutting wood, you're not wasting time when you're sharpening your axe. That's true. Sometimes the best thing you can do is rest. You'll get more done in 6 days and rest in one than you will work in 7 days. God knew what was best for us. Make it a healthy day. Take a nap. I hope Beverly's listening in there. Take a nap. Rest a little on Sunday. Rest a little. Make it a holy day. Make it a healthy day. Make it a happy day. Make it a happy day. Make it one you enjoy. Enjoy with your family and worship. Enjoy with your family and as you just have those things, meals together and things like that. You'll make the first day the best day. What if I told you there was a time when you were so lost you could not find your way home? You were so lost, and there's nothing you could do about it. Lost. You in Ephesians? Chapter 2, I got good news for you. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse number 1. King James, and you hath he quickened. Now you who are reading from the King James and from some of the others that are those translations, do you notice that hath he quickened is in italics? Am I the only one reading from one that has it in italics? What that means is that that's just added in. It's been added for clarification. That hey, in the original text, it's not there. And so if you're reading from one of those that holds more closely to that original text, it'll read something like this: "And you who were dead in your trespasses and sins." Now, even if it wasn't there, down in about verse number 5, verse number 6, it's going to make it clear who he's talking about and what he's talking about, that God has made you alive. And that's what it means to quicken you. "And you hath he quickened who were dead in your trespasses and sins." And no wonder, look at us. "Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." We were so lost. But God. That's the way verse 4 begins. But God. When we were so lost, we couldn't find our way home. When we were so lost that there was nothing we could do but be lost, God comes into the picture. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins," look, "hath he quickened," made us alive. And by the way, this is not in italics, so this would have clarified it for us anyway, right? "Even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened us together with Christ." He made us alive with Christ. And then in the King James Version, in parenthesis, you have this parenthetical expression: "By grace you're saved." By grace you're saved. You know what grace is? Grace is the unmerited, undeserved love and favor of God. Look at the verse. Verse 5. "Even when we were dead in sin." Oh, I need to start up in verse 4. "But God, who is rich in mercy." Did you deserve his mercy? No. No, unmerited, undeserved mercy of God. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us." Do you deserve the love of God? No. He loved us when we didn't even love him. Now, we love him now because we've been saved by grace. But he loved us when we didn't love him. "But his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath he made us alive with Christ." That's the favor of God. The unmerited and undeserved love and favor of God. He made us alive with Christ. And how did he do it? By grace. By grace you're saved. By grace. He'll continue, I just want to read this to you. Verse 6, "And hath he raised us up, and hath raised us up together, and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." Now, if I forget to come back to verse 7, you remind me. But I want you to notice, here are people that he says, "You're saved. You are saved." Now, you are saved by grace. By what are they saved? They are saved by grace. Down in verse 7 and 8, or excuse me, 8 and 9, he'll say it again. Listen to him. He says, "For by grace are you saved through faith. And this not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast." You're saved by grace. He adds to it, you're saved by grace, and tells them through what? You're saved by grace through faith. There's two ways of looking at that. Through faith. Through your personal faith, don't get me wrong, you got to have it. Hebrews 11, verse 6, for without faith, it's impossible to please God. You're going to have faith if you're going to be saved. But there's also this aspect of this whole system of salvation that God has always had. He had it before the law of Moses. How was Abraham justified? How was Abraham justified? Was Abraham justified by the law? The law hadn't even come. Abraham wasn't justified by the law, couldn't have ever been justified by the law. Abraham lived before the law. But Abraham was justified. What was he justified? He was justified by faith. By faith. A system of salvation that God has had worked out, and it's the only one he's ever had. Every man who has ever stood justified before God has been justified because of faith. Because of faith. And that really seems to fit the context of what the Apostle Paul is saying here in Ephesians chapter 1 and 2. Really, the rest of the letter as well. Is this a system of faith? See, there's two ways of looking at it. In the mind of the Jews, if I keep the law that Moses gave, if I'll keep it, I'll be justified. Paul will say, you can't be justified by that law. It wasn't intended to justify you. In Romans chapter 4, he'll say, again, you know, if it's by works, then no more grace. You can't be justified by it. Look, I'm just going to... He reminds them that he's talking to Gentiles. That'd be you and I. He's talking to Gentiles by background. In verse 11, he says, wherefore remember that you being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made with hands. That would be the Jews, those who had the law. That's the ones the law of Moses was given to. At that time, you were without Christ. You were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise. You're without God and without hope in the world. But in Christ, in this system, this salvation system of faith that God has always had, he instituted the law to govern sin with some people who through them he was going to bring his son into this world. But that system, that law that was to govern sin never was intended to get man to heaven. You're saved by grace. And it's through faith. It's through faith. It's through God's system of faith. These people were saved. How were they saved? They were saved by grace through faith. Now the question is, what did they do? How were they saved? By grace through faith. So let's look at it. How did these people, how were they saved by grace through faith? We're going to do this real fast, okay? So stay up with me. I'm not going to read everything to you that's on that screen because it's the same questions every time. But look with me at Ephesians chapter 1, verse number, I know you're in a hurry, but I'm going to read it to you anyway. I'm going to start in verse number 7 because here's what he's talking about. You do good to start in verse number 1. What God has done for us through Christ. What God has done for us through Christ. Now I'm just picking up right in the middle of it, verse number 7. Talking about Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of his grace. Whereunto he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. In whom? Verse 13. Look at it. in whom also you trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. What did they do? They trusted, but they trusted after what? After they heard the word of truth, which is the gospel, the good news of their salvation. These people heard something. They heard the gospel. They heard it. It reminds me of Paul's something Paul said in his treaty to the Romans, Romans chapter 10, verse number 13. He says, it's obvious, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 13. Listen to verse 14. But how can they call on him in whom they have not believed? How can they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how can they believe on him of whom they have not heard? But you heard, Paul says, to the Ephesians. Now, who were these people? They were the Ephesians. Who were these people? They're saved people. Paul said it. You've been saved by grace through faith. By grace, you're saved. They're saved people. How were they saved? They were saved by grace through faith. What did they do? They heard. They heard the word of truth. The gospel of their salvation. Stay right with me there in verse number 13. Let's look a little further at that. What did they do? Listen, read it with me. In whom also you trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. What else did they do? Who are these people? They're the Ephesians. Who are the Ephesians? They're the saved people. The ones Paul's writing to, they are the saved people. How were they saved? They were saved by grace through faith. What did they do? They heard the word of truth, the gospel of their salvation, and they believed it. And they believed it. Now, folks, that's just what the Bible says. This is what they did. How were they saved by grace through faith? They heard the word of truth, the gospel of their salvation. And after they heard it, they believed. They believed it. But let's look a little further in our Bible. You know, this is not the only place that talks to us, that tells us about these Ephesians. Remember, the Apostle Paul spent 2 years in Ephesus. We read about it in the book of Acts. And after leaving Ephesus, as he was traveling on his way to Jerusalem, trying to get there by Pentecost, he doesn't go back to Ephesus, but he goes to a little community on the sea coast about 17 miles south of Ephesus, right there on the Aegean Sea, and he calls for the elders of the church of Ephesus. This is in Acts chapter 20. He calls for those elders who are in Ephesus. Now, if you're an elder in the Lord's church, an apostle says, I'd like for you to come make a 17-mile trip, guess what you're going to do? You're going to make it. Why? Because they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Here's an apostle that wants to tell you something and wants to tell you something personal. And so they make this trip and they come to Miletus, verse number 17, Acts chapter 20. We're headed down to verse 21. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus, and he called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know that from the first day that I came into Asia, that's where Ephesus is at, it's the capital of Asia, as a matter of fact, in that day, from the first day that I came into Ephesus, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. Verse 21, here's what I taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Who's he talking to? He's talking to the Ephesians. He's talking to Ephesians. They're elders from Ephesus. Who are these people? They're saved people. Now, how were they saved? They were saved by grace through faith. What did they do to be saved by grace through faith? They repented. Paul had preached to them repentance toward God. And they repented. That's what they did. Stay with me. Stay with me. Back in chapter 19, remember I told you that Paul had been at Ephesus for 2 years. He had spent at Ephesus. Here's what brought him to Ephesus. I'm going to begin with you in verse number 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples, he said unto them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" And they said unto them, "We've not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." And he said unto them, "Unto what then were you baptized?" And they said, "Unto the John's baptism." Then Paul said, "John verily baptized with baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus." When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Who's he talking to? He's talking to Ephesians. Ephesians. He's coming to the coast of Ephesus. And as he does, he comes upon these disciples who he asks some questions of. Who are they? They're the Ephesians. They're the ones that he'll say in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 5, "You're saved. You're saved by grace." That he'll say to in Ephesians 2, 7 and 8, "You're saved by grace through faith." They're saved people. How were they saved? Saved by grace through faith. Well, what did they do? Did they hear the word of truth, the gospel of their salvation? Yes. Yes. Did they believe it? Yes. Yes. Had Paul taught them to repent toward God and have faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ? Yet, did they do that? Yes. Paul taught them, you need to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did they do that? Yes. Yes. Who are these people? They are people who have been saved by grace through faith. Saved by grace through faith. When Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, they were facing a great challenge. In the Bible, it's referred to as Judaism. Sometimes you'll read about it as Judaizers. Remember, Paul said when he talked to the elders from Ephesus, he talked about the Jews laying in wait for him. What were they doing? They were undermining the simple gospel of Jesus Christ. Sometimes they were even saying, "Hey, it's okay for you to believe in Christ, but you know, the law says, and you need to do that as well. You need to keep the law. You need to be circumcised. That's what the law said. You need to be circumcised." And that became a big issue. And many were turning from simple faith in Jesus Christ to keeping the law. Even though they were Gentiles, to keeping the law. And Paul is addressing that challenge in Ephesians chapter 2. Remember what you were. Remember what you were. You were lost. You were so lost, you couldn't find your way to God. You were so lost that had it not been for God, you would have never been saved. but you're saved. You're saved because God was merciful to you. You're saved because God loved you with His infinite love. He loved you. You're saved because even though you were dead in sin, He made you alive with Christ. Remember, don't ever forget. Don't ever go back. Remember where you were. Remember where you were. And you are now in Christ. Remember what God has done with you. You're His workmanship. Look at verse 10. I'm in Ephesians chapter 2 again. We're through. Look at verse 10. We read down through verse number 8. This is not of yourself, or 7. This is not of yourself, he'll say in verse number 8. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. Now listen. We're His workmanship. Who did the work? We're His workmanship. Well, who did the work? God did. God did. We're His workmanship. God did the work on us. God saved us. It wasn't of our own. We didn't save ourselves. God saved us. And now we're His workmanship. And since God worked on us, we become His workmanship so that we, he'll say, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. God worked on us so that we can now do good works in Christ Jesus. We're created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God hath before ordained, that we should walk in them. These good works you're doing now, as a child of God, as a Christian, these good works, you're just doing what God always planned for someone who's been saved by grace through faith to do. You're God's workmanship. He says, remember now, remember what it was like before you were saved. I read part of this to you. We'll read it real quickly. Remember what it was like before you were saved. Verse number 11. Wherefore remember that being in the past Gentiles in the flesh, you were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Remember what it was like before. Remember what you're enjoying now. Because you're in Christ, remember what you're enjoying now. Look, verse 13. But now in Christ, you who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For He's our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make of Himself of the two one new man, so making peace, that He might reconcile both, that's the Jew and the Gentile, that He might reconcile both, Jew and Gentile, that's all men, that He might reconcile both unto God in one body, that's the church, by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And He came and He preached peace to you that were afar off. That's us Gentiles. He preached peace to us. He also preached it to them that were nigh, or those that were near. That's the Jews. He came and He preached peace to you that were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through Him we both, Jew and Gentile, all men, for through Him, through Christ, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, with the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the prophets, apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom also you are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Remember what you are now in Christ. Don't ever go back. That's what Paul's addressing. The good news for you and for me is we can be saved by grace through faith. You and I, we can be saved by grace through faith. How? Well, how were they saved by grace through faith? They heard the word of truth, the gospel of their salvation. And they believed it. They were taught to repent toward God and have faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And they did it. They were taught to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by His authority. No longer are you to look for someone who is to come. That was John's baptism. Looking for someone that is to come. You're to be baptized in the name of the one who has come. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they were. And you and I can do the same thing. Are you saved? We seem so afraid to use that word anymore. How we say, are you a member of the Lord's church? What's wrong with are you saved? Are you saved? Because the alternative is what? To be lost. To be lost. And there's only one way to be saved, folks, and that is by grace through faith. There is only one way, and that is by grace through faith. Have you been saved by grace through faith? If not, we give you the opportunity this morning. Not that we could withhold it from you. It's not ours to give. It's not ours to take away. It's God who will make you His workmanship in Christ Jesus. It's God. But this morning, we can encourage you through means of an invite. Why don't you come? Why don't you come to Jesus Christ? Why don't you come and be saved? Be saved. You don't have to be lost. You can be saved. Who would choose lost over saved? You can be saved. Saved by grace through faith. This morning, if we can help you, that's what we're here for. Hey, and as our brothers and sisters in Christ, if you've got any needs, we'll do our best to help you with those too. You just need to let us know. Anyone who'd need of the invitation of our Lord Jesus Christ in any way, let us know by making your way to the front. Won't you do it now as together we stand and sing.